Mr. President, distinguished guests, fellow delegates, I'm not quite sure how you follow that build-up, but I'm going to try. I'm delighted to be here at our 43rd Alliance Party Conference and to see so many of you, both old friends and particularly the many new members we have here with us today. Annual conferences are milestones in our party journey, providing us with an opportunity to both reflect on the year which has passed and also to look forward to the year ahead, measuring what we have delivered and identifying where the opportunities for further progress lie. When I stood before you last year at conference, one of the issues I highlighted was the progress which we had made on delivering on some of our key Westminster pledges. I want to briefly mention a couple of those again today, as they are currently on the political agenda at Westminster as we begin the process of considering the Northern Ireland Miscellaneous Provisions Bill, which the government is about to introduce. As you'll be aware, only 2 weeks into my term as the MP for East Belfast, I delivered on our pre-election commitment to end double jobbing between Assembly and Westminster. Yet another year has passed, and over halfway through the current Parliament, many other parties who also indicated opposition to that practice pre-election have yet to deliver on their promises. Whilst there has been some progress, the speed could only be described as glacial. And still some doggedly cling to their dual roles and even try to defend the practice. Their voting record in Westminster, however, tells its own story. While Sinn Féin have finally acted to end double jobbing, they have yet to address the wider democratic deficit that their continued abstention from the business at Westminster creates for their constituents and for Northern Ireland as a whole. I believe that the people of Northern Ireland deserve full-time MPs who are focused on the job of holding the government to account and representing Northern Ireland's interests in Parliament. Rather than wait for the proposed legislation on dual mandates, we have led by example, voluntarily delivering on the pledge that we made. I want to take this opportunity to encourage the Secretary of State, who I know will be addressing us later in our conference this afternoon, to encourage her to take the opportunity which this bill provides to legislate for an end to dual mandates between the Assembly and Westminster, as others have had ample time to resolve the issue without legislation and have simply failed to do so. That bill also presents an opportunity to address another issue on which Alliance has shown leadership, that of transparency in political party donations. As things stand currently, whilst local parties have to make the same financial returns to the Electoral Commission as parties in the rest of the UK, the names of donors who give over 7,500 remain unpublished in Northern Ireland. I understand the reasons why this may have been necessary in the past. However, I believe that despite recent setbacks, the security situation here has improved significantly when compared with the times for which this measure was introduced. And whilst risk can never be entirely eliminated, it should not outweigh the right of the Northern Ireland public to be able to openly scrutinise the finances of local parties, to see who their major donors are, and then to judge for themselves whether those parties are influenced in their decisions by those donations. It is simply not credible for local parties on one hand to argue that Northern Ireland is a safe and attractive destination for tourism and inward investment, whilst on the other hand arguing that the security situation is so perilous as to preclude normal democratic scrutiny. When the government failed to remove the exemption at the last opportunity, Alliance committed to publishing in line with the rest of the United Kingdom on a voluntary basis, and we have delivered on that promise over the last 2 years. Despite the very real threats against Alliance from both Republican and Loyalist sources, we have continued and will continue to publish that information. Others have had plenty of time to address this voluntarily and have failed to do so. And I believe that the Secretary of State and the government should take the opportunity which is now before them in the form of this bill to ensure that this is addressed in legislation. Whether we're working to see our society transformed or to make politics more open and accountable, we have made it clear that we will not simply sit back and wait for others to deliver. We have always, right from our inception as a party, taken the initiative and led change, delivering where it is in our power to do so and challenging others to follow. In reflecting on the last year and the challenges ahead, it would be remiss of me not to take the opportunity to reflect in particular on the last few months. In doing so, I want to pay tribute to a number of my colleagues and friends in Alliance, for whom this has been a personally very testing time, as they found themselves in the eye of the storm of the flags protests. To our elected representatives, both in Belfast and further afield, who have been the subject of intimidation, of threats and of violence, I want to pay tribute to each of you personally for the calm, determined and dignified way in which you have handled the situation, for the commitment and the courage which each of you has shown in continuing to focus on delivering for your constituents and representing Alliance and our values in what was an incredibly painful situation. I also want to thank our staff team in our constituency offices, in Stormont, in headquarters, for their professionalism, their dedication, and their continued support for the elected team in difficult circumstances for them. I hope the conference will also indulge me if I make a special mention of our East Belfast team. Their resilience, their flexibility, and their good humour throughout all of this has been a huge personal encouragement and support to me. Earlier this morning, you heard from one member of our staff team who also happens to be an elected representative, Councillor Laura McNamee. And I think you'll agree that she is an example of the calibre of the staff team which we are privileged to have in this party. Equality, respect, inclusion are not just buzzwords for them, but they're part of their DNA, and I am immensely blessed, and as a party, we are immensely blessed to be surrounded by staff of that calibre. Some of our staff only came to work for us just about a year ago, and I doubt that they ever predicted that working for the middle of the road Alliance Party would have proven to be quite so eventful as it has, but I do thank them genuinely for the commitment that they've shown. Whilst it has been a very turbulent time, there have, however, even in the very darkest moments, been reasons to be optimistic. We have been overwhelmed with messages of support, not just from party members, but also from the wider public who have gone out of their way to express not only their disgust at the violence and intimidation, but also their continued support for the work which the party is doing to try to move our community forward. I know that experience personally that I have had is also shared by many, many of my colleagues across Northern Ireland, and so I want to express publicly our sincere appreciation of that public support. Those expressions of support have also manifested themselves in offers of practical help for the party. And here I'm giving people due warning that those will definitely be followed up. Similarly, we have seen a rapid increase in the rate of growth of our membership over recent months. The disruption and the violence is a real cause for concern. People's livelihoods and futures have been placed at risk, and the damage done to our economy will take time to repair. Some small businesses may never recover. That is a very bleak situation. However, that disruption and violence has also exposed just how thin the veneer of normality is and how deeply entrenched the political divisions in our community remain today. Many people confronted with that reality and watching the progress which we have made as a society being placed in such jeopardy no longer simply desire to see change in our community, but are now motivated to be change. And they recognise that in Alliance, they have found a party in which they can fulfil that aspiration for themselves, for their family, and for their community. We are glad to welcome them aboard. When Alliance was founded, its aim was to build bridges between people within a divided and fractured community. So fundamental was that concept of bridge building to the party that the A in the Alliance wordmark is styled as a bridge. The events of the last year, with a highly charged marching season, an increase in dissident Republican activity, and the more recent violence and disruption of the flags protest, have demonstrated beyond any shadow of doubt that there is still a huge amount of work to do in bridging those divisions. The complete and utter lack of commitment, energy, and fundamentally delivery from other parties on building a shared future, coupled with their willingness to continue to actively engage in the politics of fear and division rather than those of aspiration, are a reminder that if political leadership to build a united community is to come from anywhere in politics, it will come from those of us in this room and in this party. But I believe that just as important as bridging those sectarian divisions, we also need to work hard as a party to bridge the gap between the reality of our divided and unstable present and the more shared and stable future to which we aspire. We need to ensure that people can not only see clearly their place in that shared society, but also understand how it will be realised and reached. We have risen to that challenge with the recent publication of our document, For Everyone, which sets out our detailed and ambitious proposals for an executive strategy to make that paradigm shift from managing a divided community to building a united one. Let's be clear, there is no more important issue in Northern Ireland today than building a united community. And for Alliance, it is not just about a shared future. It is about how we can start today as a community to live out a shared present. Building a vibrant and competitive economy which offers real opportunities for everyone is crucial to our future. But it's been demonstrated all too clearly by the events of recent months and by the toll which those events have taken on existing businesses, on our international reputation, and on our future opportunities. Sustainable economic growth requires, above all, stability. And that stability can only be assured if we get the foundations right. The Executive has been working hard to promote Northern Ireland and to support our economy. I want to pay particular tribute to Stephen Farry, who as Minister for Employment and Learning has not only brought a sense of coherence and purpose to a department that is a crucial driver for our economy, but who in doing so has placed particular emphasis on targeting investment towards those currently furthest from employment, creating new opportunities for young people not in education, employment or training, and in placing that desire for a more shared and equitable society at the centre of everything that he and his department does. That investment in our economy is vitally important and huge progress has been made. But while the deep and potent sectarian divisions continue to run like a fault line through our society, then we are building for the future in a political earthquake zone. That makes our society inherently unstable, with the risk that when the pressure erupts along that fault line, it will shake all of the progress made to its very foundations. We know what many of those pressure points are: the display of flags and emblems, parades, dealing with the past and its legacy, segregation in key aspects of society, including housing and education, issues of culture and identity, which go to the very core of the conflict here in Northern Ireland. This is the nature of the fault line, and what is required to address it is a focus on shared solutions, shared education, shared housing, shared space, and perhaps what has been most visibly absent over recent months, shared leadership and direction. Alliance as a party is not in denial that some in our community are fearful for the future. And whether those fears are real or perceived, they must not be ignored. But it is the responsibility of political leadership to address and to allay those fears and not to manipulate, inflame or play on them for any partisan perceived political gains. Whatever the problems and challenges we face as a community, the solutions to them will never be found in protest, in a riot, in reckless calls for divisive border polls, or in any segregated forum that addresses the concerns only of one section of the community. These are shared problems and they demand shared solutions. If we want to build a truly prosperous, inclusive and fair society, then we must first get the foundations right. The rule of law must be respected, not only when you like the law, but also, crucially, when you don't. Recourse to violence has absolutely no place in a stable democratic society, and those who use violence or the threat of violence need to desist, need to be resisted, and need to actively engage exclusively with the democratic process to obtain their aims and objectives. That continuing challenge to lawful authority across our community is destabilising and costly. The police, who have had the unenviable task of trying to hold a line between the rule of law and descent into mob rule, have done so at significant cost, both human and financial. And I want to express my gratitude, our gratitude and thanks to the officers involved in protecting our community, and who, as a result of those efforts, have themselves become a target for much of the recent violence from both loyalist and dissident Republican sources. The continuation of segregation must also be urgently addressed if we are to get those foundations right. There can be no papering over the cracks. They are too deep, too fundamental, too destabilising to be ignored. Instead, we need renewed focus on healing divisions and on addressing the outstanding issues from the Good Friday Agreement, not just from the local parties, but also, crucially, from the British and Irish governments, who are joint custodians of this process and who have a duty and a responsibility to ensure that progress and peace are sustained. That is a message which David and I will be taking directly to the Prime Minister this Wednesday when we meet him in Westminster. In recent times, it has on occasion felt as though we as a community were standing on the edge of the abyss, looking into the prospect of a future more reminiscent of the darkest days of our past than the brighter days for which we had hoped. As someone who lived my whole life against the backdrop of the Troubles, that is not a future which I want inflicted on another generation. Yet even in this context, others have said that this is not the right time to produce the executive's cohesion sharing and integration strategy. Well, conference, I disagree. The deep divisions in our community, the fundamental instability of a segregated society, the increasing fragility of the peace process as core issues are left to fester, has now been laid bare for all to see. It is a sobering and a disturbing sight. If now is not the time to address this in a meaningful way, then when will be a better time? If building a shared future is not the priority now, then when will it ever be the priority? The First and Deputy First Minister have had since 2007 to produce a replacement strategy for the Shared Future Strategy and Action Plan, which they abandoned. That's 6 years of squandered opportunity. The time for excuses and delay is over. The time for delivery is now. Neither will the community be satisfied with a strategy which, like the draft version issued for consultation, is high on rhetoric and platitudes but low on substance and action, and which ducks the key and the difficult issues. We will not settle for a fig leaf merely to cover their embarrassment. Any strategy must set out a clear vision of what we want Northern Ireland to be for the future, and map out the practical steps which the executive can take to support, to encourage and to underpin at policy level the good work already being done by many, many people in our community who day by day are engaged in peace building and reconciliation. We know that this will be a long and at times frustrating process and that results will not be delivered overnight. But even the longest and most arduous journey still has to start with one forward step. It is time to get moving. As Minister for Justice, David has already demonstrated through the work led by his department in collaboration with local communities and other statutory and voluntary partners to tackle so-called peace walls, that progress can be made on these difficult and emotive issues by supporting, facilitating, encouraging local communities who want to address division and remove or reduce the physical barriers that exist between neighbourhoods. It is painstaking and sensitive work. It requires the building of trust and confidence. But it is possible. David has proven that with the right political leadership. Any strategy must give focus, direction, and above all, that strong leadership as we work to bridge the gap between our divided, wounded, and too often embittered present towards a more integrated, reconciled future to which we aspire. Any strategy must also set out honestly and candidly the kind of difficult choices and hard decisions which we will need to make if real transformation of our community is to be realised. It will require the kind of mature and generous conversations which is willing to go beyond narrow tribal interest to look to the good of the whole community. It needs to include targets for progress in all areas of government which are ambitious and challenging, but are also realistic and achievable. And it must include a framework for measuring progress against those targets. It cannot duck the hard issues like flags or parades or the past or shared housing or integrated education. I believe that our published proposals meet those tests. The Alliance vision of that shared society is of one free from divisions, from sectarianism and prejudice, in which everyone, regardless of religion, gender, class, disability, colour, age, sexuality or nationality, are treated with respect and enabled to fulfil their full potential free from fear. In short, our proposals are for everyone. We are ready and eager to engage in that open, honest and inclusive conversation, not just with other political parties, but also with the wider community, about both that vision and about how our proposals will move us to make that fundamental change, about how we as a community start to build the bridge from where we are now to where we want to be. As a community, we are faced with a choice. Martin Luther King set that choice out more eloquently than I ever could when he said, "We must learn to live together as brothers, or we will perish together as fools." Our choice, put bluntly, is between a shared future and a scared future. I, for one, am not interested in the politics of fear. Alliance has not and will never indulge in that kind of politics, nor will we allow the others who choose to do so to deflect us from the challenge of transforming our community, from making the difficult decisions that are required to deliver that change, or from showing leadership for everyone in our community. We reject the politics of fear in favour of the politics of hope and the politics of aspiration. Those foundations of hope and aspiration are the base on which this party was built, conceived in the belief that the people of Northern Ireland, all the people of Northern Ireland, deserved a better, more peaceful and more prosperous future, and sustained by the belief that as a community we still do. The politics of hope and aspiration are where the best future lies for everyone in our community. Alliance is the party that will continue to lead the way in articulating that clear vision of a shared future for everyone, and the opportunities of realising that potential will bring to our community, and in building the bridge that will take us there. And so it just remains for me to introduce the person who will lead us in that challenge as we build for the future and build to the future. Conference, please welcome our party leader, Mr. David Ford.